meeting your needs. Can we just say, Lord, we are grateful for everything you have done for us. For every testimony in the month of February, Lord, we are grateful. There are so many that started this month, but there are no more. Some traveled and they met with their death. Can we just say, Lord, we are grateful and we are honored to be blessed by you. We celebrate you for your wonders.
That rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances, to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Jemiah Adeluju for the Word of His Grace.
Quarter of this year, that is before the end of March, the month you are stepping into, somebody's story here will change. I am speaking as a prophet of the Almighty God that somebody's story here will change. Someone's situation will change. Your door will open. The door of greatness, of blessing, of prosperity that has closed against you within these 30 days thereabout, 31, those doors shall open in the name of Jesus. Someone who said, man, we be loud. Whatever has been programmed to kill you is destroyed now in the name of Jesus. Whoever has planned or assigned or arranged to stand on your way to your new level, that person is taken out of the way now in the name of Jesus. This first quarter, before it is over, you will have a testimony. And God's name will be glorified. Can you shout a triumphant amen? Give Jesus a big clap offering. Thank you, choir. While you are standing, please wait, hold on 1 minute. While you are standing, I'd like you to open your Bible with me. Very quickly. To the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Chapter number 22. From verse 33 to verse 40. Matthew. Well, let's start from verse 34. And then we'll stop at verse 40. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Are you ready? One, two, go. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great of commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, speak to us yourself and bless us through your word. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please take your seat. You are welcome once again to church. And I welcome all our internet viewers. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. John chapter number 4, from verse 21 to verse 24. John chapter 4, from verse 21 to verse 24. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers, note that word, true worshippers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In Matthew 22 that we read, Jesus was asked a simple question. Which one is the greatest commandment? Now, the answer should be one, but he gave us two. two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And that is simply talking about worship. Somebody say worship. The love for God, worship, is worship. And that is the first commandment. So my title this morning is the first commandment. The first commandment. I trust God for grace to speak on the second commandment, which is love. Love is the second commandment. Love is your relationship, the relationship between you and your fellow man. The relationship between you and your fellow man. So one, the first commandment, relationship between you and God. The vertical relationship and then the horizontal relationship. The two greatest commandments. Our worship and devotion to God, then our relationship with our fellow human being. So the first and greatest commandment is love for God with the whole heart and soul and mind, which is, translates to worship. Worship. That is the starting point of every relationship with God. Please note that. It is the starting point of every relationship with God. In John chapter number 9, from verse 35 to 38, John 9, 35 to 38, and Mark chapter 5, verse 6, Mark 5, 6. John 9 said, Jesus had that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, that was the man who was born blind that healed, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Look at the man's question. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And to start a relationship with him, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. That is the beginning of every relationship and every covenant work with God. Worship. Worship. In Mark chapter 5, verse 6, a man possessed with a demon, oppressed, tormented, afflicted by demons, he was chased out of his father's house. He left all human assembly. And he went to live among tombs. To live with the dead. And he was in the tomb. Living there day and night. And he was cutting himself. He was doing things. Injuring himself. There are so many people who are living like that demoniac. We do things that hurt us. We do things against our future. We do things against our health. We do things against our well-being. We do things against our family, against our marriages. We do things against our children. We do things against our future. We do things against our God. Like this madman. But the beginning of that relationship, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He ran and worshipped him. Note also, that worship is the intent and expectation of our Christian walk with God. It is the intent, the intention of God for saving you is that you might worship him. It is the intent and expectation of our Christian walk with God. God expects you to walk with him in worship. He expects worship from you. That is the intent of God. That is the intention of God. And that is the expectation of God. In Isaiah chapter 41, chapter 43 verse 21. Isaiah 43, 21. God said, these people have I formed for myself. And then they shall show forth my praise. I have formed them to worship me. To relate with me. It is therefore the expectation of God. And that was why Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23, John 4:23, that God, the hour is coming and now is when the worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Look at the next sentence. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God is looking for worshippers. Look, it is the intent and the expectation of a Christian walk with God. Thirdly, worship is the ultimate of our devotion to God. It is the ultimate. So you can't serve God if you don't know how to worship him. It is the beginning, the intent and the expectation of our relationship, our walk with God. And also, it is the ultimate of our devotion. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. The ultimate of our devotion. Revelation 4, 8 to 11. Very quickly. And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, they worship. Holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Verse 9, quickly. And when those beasts give glory and honor to and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, watch verse 10. The 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Look at the next sentence. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy. Somebody say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure. So you are created for his pleasure. May your life give him glory. I thought your amen will be louder. Amen. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, worship is the first law of the soul. Worship is the first law of the soul. You put your soul in danger. You put your soul in peril if you violate that law. In every man there is a void. There is a gap. There is a lacuna that can only be filled by God and his worship. And when we talk about worship, we mean coming into a union, an understanding with God. Coming into a relationship with God. That is where worship starts from. A man who has not known Christ cannot worship him. You cannot worship him. A man who is not born again, who has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, can be religious, but can't be a worshiper. Wonderful time at the Meet Your Pastors meeting yesterday. Fantastic. A brother said I was in church for many years, prominent in the church, living in sin, and something was wrong. I was just doing that, and everybody was ready to sponsor me to seminary. I was just living a reckless life. He said, and I knew this cannot continue. And then he made a statement that hit me terribly. He said, I had a friend who was a member of this church, and he mentioned the department of that brother. He said, but there is nothing in his life that should attract me to his church. So I didn't want to. He said, but somehow I just decided to come to his church for a change. He said, and I came and I saw life. And then he came out and gave his life to Christ and was grounded. Worship started then. But everything he did before that time was religion. In case you are in this church, you are not born again and you are a worker. You are violating the primary law, the law of the soul. Let me thank you for service. But let me also assure you that the service that is acceptable to God is the service that proceeds from a heart of worship. From the man who has met Christ. That is the service that will not be burned with fire. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Every work shall be tested by fire. So if you are serving, you are working, you are a worker without being a worshiper, you have not known him. Once they put that work on the fire test, fire will burn it. May your work not burn. It answers more than amen. To more than amen. It answers to a relationship with God through Christ. Worship. Being born again. I'm still talking about worship, but please pay attention. But once we get this right, so many things will fall in place. It is the first law of the soul. You put your soul in peril if you violate that law. So, it is the number one responsibility of Christians. Your number one responsibility as a child of God, worship. And so, what do you do the first thing? What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Some of us worship our phone. When you wake up in the morning, you pick your phone. That's what you are worshiping. Not God. Whatever craves your attention, gets your attention, is what you are worshiping. I'm sorry, this is family Thanksgiving. We're and it is so far to get this. Amen. All right. Do you know worship is the master key to the treasury of heaven and the miracles of God? Worship. The master key to the treasury of heaven and to the miracles of God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And Matthew chapter 15, verse 25. Matthew 8:2 says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And he came worshipping. Matthew 15:25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She came and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. Somebody, you are here, God will help you. So, worship is the master key to the treasury of heaven and the miracles of God. Do you know sometimes if you want to get miracles from God, don't ask, just worship him. Who is there like you? Taloda bire la yea. Tonu kosiyo. Talabafiowe. Taloleba odogba. You know, you just worship him. You just worship. Now, understand, praise is appreciating God for the things he does. For what he does. Appreciating God for what he does. While worship is adoring God for who he is. Adoring God for who he is. Do you know that worship is the vapor? The needed vapor for your rain? Zechariah chapter 14 verse 17. Zechariah 14, 17. Ecclesiastes 13, 14. Zechariah 14, 17. It shall be, whosoever will not come up before the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If you don't worship, if you don't know how to worship, your life will be dry. Your life will be dry if you are not a worshiper. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 13, 14. Ecclesiastes 13, 14. If the cloud, Ecclesiastes, be full of rain, they empty themselves. Ecclesiastes chapter 13, verse 14. Out a louder hallelujah. If the cloud be full of rain, it empties itself. 11, verse 3, beg your pardon. Ecclesiastes 11, 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the heart. So, the vapor, your worship is the vapor that goes up to form rain cloud that brings down rain upon you. For rain to fall upon you, you must know how to worship God. Now, in a few minutes, let me show you the characteristics of genuine worshippers. Don't forget, worship is coming into a relationship with God, accepting Jesus as your Lord and as your personal Savior. That is the starting point. Your worship commences. Your worship starts when you come to a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And then you worship him with your life, with your body, with your substance, with all that you've got. You worship him. You worship him in praise, in adoration. You worship him with your substance, with your lifestyle, making your life a witness to people around you. That is how you worship. Now, how do you know genuine worshipers? Number one characteristic of genuine worshipers is humility. Somebody say humility. Luke chapter 18, from verse 10 to verse 14. Luke 18, 10 to 14. Then Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not as other men. I am not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like adulterers or even this publican down there. Verse 12, he now says, I fast twice in the week. Ekushe. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well done. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, will not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Verse 14. And I tell you, this man went home justified. Of course, you know that. For the sake of time. Humility. It takes humility to acknowledge your needs. And it takes the needy to worship God. It takes a man who acknowledges his deficiencies. For example, if you don't acknowledge your need for redemption, when you are coming to Christ, the first thing you have to do, acknowledge that you are a sinner. It takes humility to acknowledge that you are in need. It takes humility to acknowledge that you need help. As a matter of fact, it takes humility to receive help from people. Worshippers, the number one characteristic of worshippers is that they are humble. They don't flaunt what they do. If you are in church, you flaunt what you do. If it is not our tithe, the pastor should not be eating. You are not a worshipper. You have wasted your tithe. If you are in church and you are like, upon all that I do there, excuse me, sir, as far as someone is concerned, you have done nothing. This man said, I fast. And you tell God, you flaunt your fasting ability. I can fast very well. I fast twice a week. I can do 3 days dry. Thank you, sir. Worshippers are humble people. That is the number one sign. Humble. That man beat his chest and he said, be merciful unto me. I am in need. I am a sinner. Be merciful unto me. A worshipper acknowledges his need. Humility empowers him, helps him to see the need in his life. In Isaiah chapter number 6 from verse 1 to 5, Isaiah said, the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And then when he saw the Lord, he came to self-realization. Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I lived in the midst of people of unclean lips. He acknowledged his need. When you are a worshipper is humble. Worship of God keeps you humble. Makes you shed tears, even in God's presence. Even in your closet, as you worship God, as you pray. A worshipper. It takes humility to acknowledge your needs. Arrogant people can't worship. And that was what sent Lucifer out of heaven. He was too proud to bow. Don't be too proud to bow. Let me tell your neighbor, don't be too proud to bow. Don't be too tall to bow. Don't be too big to bow. Don't be too made to bow. The same man that made you cannot make you. Don't be too proud. Worshippers are humble people. Second, number two characteristics, worshippers are available. Availability. When Isaiah saw himself and began to worship God, in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, God asked a question, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And then I said, who shall I send? Then Isaiah said, here am I. Worshippers are available. Many times you want to do things in the house of God, only worshippers are the ones that are available. Those who are not worshippers, they don't have the time. Don't have time. Worshippers. Those who don't worship don't have time. If you don't have time for anything, check very well. You might not be a worshipper. God is always looking for a man. But we are always too busy, too crowded to be available. But worshippers are available. Number three, gratitude is another characteristic of worshippers. Gratitude. Genuine worshippers are grateful people. Grateful. They think about what God has done for them. They think about what God has done in their lives, and they are grateful. Hear me, people of God. The most foolish person in the world is that person who focuses on what he does not have to the exclusion of what he does have. The most stupid person. Worshippers are mindful of the dealings and the doings of God in their lives. They acknowledge the doings of God. They do not attribute anything to themselves, their power, their ability, their grace, their strength, their stamina. They acknowledge all to the grace of the Almighty God. They see God in all. And that's why Psalm 103 verse 1 to 5. The Bible began to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. In other words, it's asking us to be grateful. Don't be an ingrate. Worshippers are grateful people. Worshippers are grateful. Our elder was sharing testimony. I put the bag on. He didn't know he put the bag on his car and drove to another area. And then she met the bag on the car and said, this is testimony worthy. This is God. This can only be God. Are you listening to me? This cannot acknowledge God. Acknowledge, be grateful. Be grateful for your life. Be grateful for where you are. It is God who has brought you that far. Be grateful. Don't focus on what you don't have. Murmurers, complainers, they focus on what they don't have. They overlook what they do have. Some of them, they underrate what they don't have. I mean, what they do have. They overrate what they don't have. Worshippers are not like that. For everything, they are grateful. Are there grateful people in the house? Raise your voice and shout, I am grateful. For life, you must be grateful. For food on your table, you must be grateful. For appetite to eat, you must be grateful. We have rice in our house in bags. And so, I can never forget one day, my wife turned to me and said, rice has finished. I said, don't ever say finish. Rice can never finish. So, I said, man, rice, man, you're better. You're getting the same thing, but oh. Then I said, oh, praise God that we all have appetite to finish one bag of rice. Let's give thanks. Some people, you'll be begging them to eat. They are sick. Some cannot even lift food to their mouth. Some cannot even take anything solid. They pass it in liquid. And then, but you can eat. And then you eat, and it didn't go to the wrong place. I told you, I have a friend who was drinking, where the wife said water, or he said Coke. What, you know, a confused woman. She said he was drinking Coke. Then she said he was drinking water. Whatever it was liquid, oh, they sat malori and they died. And you, food has entered wrong place many times and you survived. And they are looking for grateful people. You say, what has God done for me? Worshippers are grateful. For every act of God, they are grateful. For every mercy of God, they are grateful. For the slightest of his goodness. So Psalm 103 listed those things. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. And in case we are forgotten, because we forget too soon. You know why we forget? We are looking at those things that we don't have. So he listed them. Don't forget all of that, but in case I forgot in verse 3, he said, who forgiveth all thy iniquities? If you are here since 2021, Saturday, you have never committed a sin, not a lie, not anything, you raise your hand. I want you to pray for me. But he forgiveth all your sin. Sometimes I wonder, Is it not the same God in the New Testament that killed Ananias and Sapphira for their property? They sold their property and they brought part. The only mistake, sin they made was that they said, that's all we sold it. And God killed them. You and I, we got so much harvest, we ate all. We didn't even remember God. And God did not kill us. You lied, He did not kill you. You lusted in your heart, He did not kill you. You even fornicated, you committed adultery, He did not kill you. He is looking at you. And then He said, forgive all thy iniquities. He forgave you, and you are not grateful. He healed all thy diseases, and you are not grateful. He redeemed thy soul from destruction, verse number 4, and you are not grateful. The Okada that would have killed you, He rescued you, and you are not grateful. He crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfied your mouth with good things. You are not looking for what to eat in the dustbin, and you are not grateful. Oh, Toroje. Worshippers are grateful people. Do we have grateful ones in the house this morning? Shout it again, I am grateful. I have 7, but let me mention one more. And then I leave you. Number 4. Worshippers have the ability to lay it down. Another characteristic of worshippers. Ability to lay it down. Ability to lay it down. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 10, we read it earlier. But look at verse 10 again, Revelation chapter 4 verse 10. The 24 elders, they were elders. They fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. They had crowns, but they cast it willingly. They dropped their crown in worship. Jesus said, I have the ability, the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down. One of the characteristics of worshippers is the ability to lay it down. What is it that you have that you cannot lay down? Some of us, to lay down 10% of what comes to us is difficult. Because we begin to do calculations of all kinds. But worshippers, lay it down. Worshippers, lay it down. Worshippers, lay it down. Ability to lay it down. They lay it down. Be a worshipper. Lay down your life. Lay down your time. Lay down your resources. Lay down your skill. Lay down your talent to worship the Almighty God. Ability to lay it down is a characteristic of worshippers. They lay it down. James was a worshipper. He laid it down. He laid it down. Let us be worshippers in spirit and in truth. Let's lay down our lives. Let's lay down our time. Let's lay down our resources. Your money, lay down to worship God. Don't hold it to yourself. Lay it down. Let's use your car to worship God. Let's use your house for house fellowship. Lay it down. We will dirty your seat. You will clean it when we leave. Lay it down. Some of us cannot give people that we know in church. We can't give people that we know a ride from here to Songo. You know them, not strangers. I won't ask you to give strangers a ride. Lay it down. Lay it down. I was coming from Lagos. I went to preach in a church in Lagos. And I went with the driver. Someone drove. 2 other people followed me. We also were 4 in the car. And of course, you know, so I sat at the back. Ni owo 21 so pe o na lo manjo ko sibe yen. And someone said, so, and then we saw someone who was going to Ibadan also. And then so I said, where we jumped? So I pulled the divider between. I said, come in. He said, I said, come in, Ogbawa, in your meta. He said, no, sir, you should see. I said, one day. Did they burn me with the car? The car, was it not even a gift? Was it not a gift? So if I was gifted with the car and I cannot give somebody not the car a ride, I was gifted with the car. I cannot give somebody a ride. To the mabole. To ni your city, lo to ban lo. Think of it that way. Think of it that way. And it will change your mentality. Worshippers, lay it down. What is it that God is speaking to you to lay down? Your lives. The first step to worship. It is important. Your life. Let's bow down our head. Close your eyes. There is somebody here this morning, you want to start the relationship, the process. You want to become a genuine worshiper. Worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. You are here. I'd like you to lift up your right hand. I want to be born again. I want to start a relationship, a worship relationship with God this morning. Lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. I want to be born again. Pastor, please pray with me. If I see your hand, I'm going to pray with you.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jue Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.